It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. You heard it. Reno's in. This hour is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Griffin is here. We're in the Findlay Toyota Studios. That's cool. We're never here. Good to see you, Adam. On the mend. Adam, not down for the count, but down for the radio count with a bum knee. But I don't think it's getting better because you're not using crutches like you're supposed to.
I'm also not resting like I'm supposed to.
Yeah, that any kind of malady when it concerns this show, the resting part becomes the difficult part.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work.
Like, stay off it. Like, how?
You're like, it's football season.
It is. Season.
Well, you're going to ruin your knee forever. It's football season.
Football season. And rest in the off season.
Do the medical folks understand that?
Clearly not.
Take off a couple days.
It's also the bye week next week. I'm not going to go out of town? Come on.
You won't even do it during the bye week?
What are we doing? Do you have one chance to take a vacation?
You're heavily medicated right now? Do you even know what you're saying today?
No, I'm not taking anything during the day.
Mm, okay.
Just at nights.
All right. Big Four time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I almost sounded kind of caring and nurturing. That was weird.
Dude, I could sense the sarcasm.
I do care. You know, I care that you do the show. I can't keep up with all the reality sports television or behind-the-scenes sports television, and I'm sad about that because there's so many good shows. Season two of The Starting Five will feature a star-studded cast of NBA players, including SGA. But Oklahoma City looks like it's going to win like 60 games. Harden, Durant, Jaylen Brown. Is that Halliburton?
Yeah.
Season two. Can anyone tell me what happened in season one? I didn't know there was a season one.
I haven't watched it yet.
You knew there was a season one?
Yeah, LeBron's in it.
Okay. What's the hook here?
It's quarterback for basketball, basically. Receiver for basketball.
I like the first comment on one of those tweets that we saw. Is season one worth watching?
Yeah.
Not to say I'm not interested in the NBA. I just didn't know the show existed.
Well, I love all these shows. The problem is there's so many, right? Like, I got into the PGA one, and then
you love that one. I stopped watching after
like four episodes. I was like, I lost track of it. I stopped watching it. I got to go back and catch up again. And then, Receiver, I watched the first 8 hours that it was out. I finished it because I was trying to make sure that, you know, there was nothing in there newsworthy. It came out at midnight. I was done watching by like 7 a.m. Make sure there's nothing newsworthy about Devontae. But like, I love all these shows. I love that they're out there. I just don't see them enough. Now, this one, I think, is fascinating for a couple reasons. One, Kevin Durant, always interesting. I know he's polarizing in a lot of ways, but he's a pretty interesting person. And I'll, be pretty intrigued to see how much of his social media life they kind of delve into and what his strategies are, why he does the things he does. Those are good. And, like, Tyrese Halliburton is awesome. He seems to be a pretty, genuine person. There's a lot of, I think a lot of things that he'll share and talk about. Like, he's pretty open about a lot of things. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. I think it'll be a good show.
Number three.
Number three.
How many people this Halloween are going as Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
I feel like a ton last year, but I'm sure many more will this year.
Pretty good costume, especially if you do it up and you're sexy Kelce and sexy... just sexy Kelce. That's what we're interested in, right? And sexy Swift. I'm sure you can win some of these contests in town.
Probably.
By the way, if one place you can win money is Ellis Island Casino. Not only are they having a rhythm and booze, I don't do that well. Inside the front yard, they're actually doing scaryoke.
Oh, wow.
So you go down to one of the best karaoke joints in all of the land, and you're wearing a costume. Hey, go down and you're Travis and Taylor and you sing something.
Does the song have to
be... I got you, babe.
Does the song have to be related to the costume? You're Frankenstein, you have to sing Monster Mash. Or...
Do you have a Travis and do you need some time before the end of the show to come up with a Travis and Taylor song for the costumes?
No, you
Does it need to be a breakup song? Is it something
Taylor
that's
Swift.
Lovey-dovey? Oh, you do a Taylor Swift song. You make it easy.
That's what I assume, yeah.
Okay.
I just don't know. Like, if you
could you do one?
A Taylor Swift song?
Yeah. Do you know the lyrics well enough with a little bit of help that you could do it?
I may have done it the other day.
Oh, no. You did?
So possibly, yes.
Where's the invite? Look at how sad Griffin is right now. He wants to watch you.
It was actually...
Do some karaoke?
Some people might be listening to this. It was actually a very weird gathering. It was a house party for a company that is essentially going out of business. So a lot of their people were kind of
sounds
sad
like a celebration
together.
Yeah, it's like really happy times.
And the person happened to have a karaoke machine in the
house.
Nice. So yeah, that happened. But no, I wouldn't do it because I'm a one hit wonder at karaoke. I only do one song.
I don't believe you are. I think if you expanded your horizons, you could do a lot of other stuff.
I'm sure I could.
Yeah,
it's a hit.
Would you like to take a guess? This is sort of known on the show.
Before Griffin's time. I don't even think he knows the song.
What his go-to karaoke song is? Big Taylor Swift guy. I could see that. I could also see maybe, what's her name? Something Jensen. You know what I'm talking about?
Carly Rae Jensen. I mean, yes, that is in his sphere, but let's say a sort of an offbeat rap song.
But I think it's before, like I'm saying, I think it's before Griffin was even born.
Okay. Then you don't get the guess.
Oh, I gotta hear it though. You gotta tell me the song.
Humpty Dance. The song.
Yeah, not aware of it.
Know it.
The show's going off the rails.
It is.
No more old man references. Uncle Steve and Uncle Adam. It's too old for a lot of the audience.
True.
What's going on here? The costume you sent over had a little baby.
So there's a couple back in 2020 that went kind of viral.
Okay.
Because they dressed as Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Now they were just, the guy was Travis, the girl was Taylor, they were a couple. It had nothing to do with them being a couple eventually. And in fact, in their original...
Oh, wow, that's cool.
In their original
2020. Okay.
In their original post, they said, we can't imagine a scenario where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are in the same room, but that's our two costumes, so that's what we are.
And they had a baby dressed up, right?
Obviously, now they do. So a few years ago...
Oh, they did it again.
They did this.
Okay.
Then obviously when Travis and Taylor actually got together, their post from several years earlier kind of went viral. Like, hey, these two predicted this because they were Travis and Taylor way before they were Travis and Taylor. And now this couple has children. So they have done the costume again and they have incorporated their children into the costume. And now people are saying, oh, they are now manifesting. They not only manifested them as a couple, they're now manifesting the fact that they're going to have children soon and be the Travis and Taylor babies.
Did you see the baby picture I sent over?
Didn't look like the most attractive baby.
That was like a demon baby.
Yeah.
It was at a bar that I was at and ladies walking around with a demon baby.
I'm going to say
Travis, little puppet.
If Travis and Taylor do have a child, it will not look like that.
Number two.
I don't think we have any Shock G loaded up. So let's just play some Fat Joe. Why not? I want some Fat Joe. I want it. No, I really don't, actually.
Is it edited?
No, I really don't. What was that last night?
It wasn't good.
Why do that? We're talking Yankee Stadium before Game 3. Just because the Dodgers had Ice Cube, you don't have to copy it.
Well, I think Ice Cube was the answer because the Yankees had announced Fat Joe, and then the Dodgers were like, oh, then we'll get Ice Cube.
Oh, I didn't know I had the order incorrect.
Yeah.
They weren't copycats.
No.
In fact, the Dodgers jumped the line and beat them.
Yeah.
Did they beat them?
I think so.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
On the field before the game. That was bad.
The best they can get is Fat Joe.
That was the other question circulating.
He's very New York.
One thing I thought of immediately. Yeah. New York!
Look at Jay-Z.
New York! Well... I thought of this, and then the genius that I live with at home, and I'm not being sarcastic, she's very smart, brought up the issue of lots of New York rappers.
Live in L.A.?
Ties too?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Is that whole, again, I'll use the word sphere, is that whole sphere like untouchable?
Yeah, I don't think you can't have mates.
What a nightmare. And it just went on forever. And I think I was in a setting where it was even more painful because I was at Ellis Island and it's blaring over the speakers and I'm like, I just want this to end. It just feels wrong. It's not cool. Just stop, please.
Could they not have done Jay-Z because he criticized them by saying he makes the Yankees hat more famous than a Yankee can?
Possibly, yes.
Then it's like, well, now you're criticizing the Yankees and then you're going to try to get out of the field?
Are you just pulling material from Seinfeld, Steinbrenner?
That was not from, I mean, this is way after Seinfeld.
No, I just mean like that George would do this.
Sure.
I mean, George is not alive anymore, so he can't do anything.
Can't get Jay-Z.
Yeah. Number one.
Number one.
What is wrong with the Raiders' run game? We went through this a lot yesterday with Willie, and I kept asking him and everyone else who came on the show, including Lincoln Kennedy, who was very down in the dumps about just this offensive line. He's like, it pains me to watch this. Is it execution or is it scheme? Don't say both. Everyone's answer is like, both.
It's both. But I mean, I think if you start with scheme, which is, you know, they changed to much more of a zone running scheme, which was supposed to fit the offensive line better, but it doesn't seem to have. And then also Zamir White, who was a starting running back, wasn't good in that scheme. That's not his strength.
Okay.
So that was probably poor planning on that, you think, that regard of putting him in there. Now, probably. Madison has been a little bit better at it, but not great. And obviously this game was a step back for everyone. And then you think about the changes that were made, right? Thayer Munford is going to be the right tackle. They go to DJ Glaze, a rookie who's been much better in pass protection than he has in the run blocking game. Colton Miller didn't have preseason. He really struggled the first couple weeks that he was in there. He's gotten a little bit better, but now you've got a rookie next to him and Jackson Powers Johnson, who is aggressive and puts together good highlights, but on a play-to-play basis, the consistency just isn't there. Dylan Parham gets hurt. Jordan Meredith goes in, who's been kind of solid, but, you know, That's a change there. So there's been a lot of change up. Like, again, these sound like a lot of different things. Like, nothing has worked. It didn't work when they were healthy. It didn't work when they're not healthy. It didn't work when they changed guys. They've been better in pass protection than they have in run blocking, for sure. But there's a lot that just hasn't been good. And I think it started with the scheme and not being the right fit. But also just, like, there is. So, you know, I do the tape review every Tuesday for Wednesday's paper. I just kind of finished it before the show. And I went back and looked at the runs that were inside the 5-yard line. On the, you know, when they got down there and they just tried to run the ball three straight times. And was the scheme great? No. But they're at the 1-yard line. Just win the matchup. Like, the scheme isn't great. Just win the matchup. Just block the guy in front of you. You can't do it.
And Madison gets the ball and it's someone's right on him.
Yeah. So at some point, like, you can say scheme, you can say execution, whatever you want to say. At some point, it's just winning battles. And they haven't been able to win enough battles at all.
They've rushed for 632 on the season. Four NFL players have more than that by themselves, including Josh Jacobs.
I don't think Josh Jacobs would have that many yards here.
No, a lot of this, even though it is a different staff and some different players in front of the running back, a lot of this is reminiscent of what Jacobs went through last year, where he was hit behind the line seemingly on every run.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been good. Hasn't been good enough. And by the way, like, Antonio Pierce said something yesterday when we kind of said, why don't you just stop running the ball? Just throw it. So we can't just drop back and throw every time. Well, they did that one half. Second half against Baltimore. Threw every down, pretty much. It worked. Maybe try.
This hour is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyers. 4 o'clock hour in Reno. You can call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400. We'll come up with, or coming up, we'll get into some of the crazy scenarios that could be on the way in college football.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Forgive me, officer. I know I was speeding, but I'm in a hurry. I'm late for the World Series.
May I see your license, sir?
Look, I left them at home. Look, I'm Tommy Lasorda. I'm late for the World Series.
Do you have registration for this vehicle, sir?
Look, this isn't my car. I had an accident and I borrowed a friend's. Look, why do I feel like a criminal when I'm telling you this? I'm Tommy Lasorda. Haven't you seen my commercials? I'm Tommy Lasorda. I'm manager of the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers. You know me, don't you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Lasorda, I do. But we're still going to have to cite you.
Down Imperial Highway, the big nasty. sitting at my side. Santa winds blowing hot from the north. We were born to ride.
We'll be safe and say in less than 5 hours. This is playing at Dodger Stadium.
Let's see how the game plays out.
By the way, Griffin just looking befuddled. I don't like to do ID music coming back and waste time on the show, but Randy Newman, I Love L.A.
Is that what that soundbite is from? Because
no, not the soundbite. The soundbite is clearly from a TV show.
That's what I was looking up. I could not figure out where you got that from. I looked up Lasorda. I was looking at it. It sounded like Jon Stewart to me. It sounded like an SNL skit at first. I don't know where
that
was
actually came live
from.
Audio. Tommy Lasorda was a well-known criminal back in the 80s. No license, no registration. The car stolen, Tommy. We don't know who you are. He's like, do you know who I am? No.
What show was that on?
You didn't get it either.
No.
I figured
the
you
chips.
Might. There you go.
What?
I was like, you might recognize the voice at the end. Right. Punch working with some rookie. It's Tommy Lasorda, bro. Now, the vast sound crew here, we have hundreds of people doing sound for us every day. They took out the part where he asked for ID, and Lasorda's response was, it's on the back of my jacket. He turned around, and it said Valenzuela on the jacket. And then he's like, Jerry Royce, playing a joke on me. So for people who are old like myself, you get all the little jokes.
Sure.
And Ponch saved the day, but would not pull the ticket. Now, amazingly, I think that might have been put together clearly with the game tonight in mind, clearly with the Dodgers winning. What is it, 21 to 24 teams that have gone out to a 3-0 lead win in four, the other 3-1 in five in the World Series. But I did not know there was another athlete confrontation, story with the police after he got pulled over. This happened when?
October 8th. Just coming to light now, however. So, Jameson Williams.
That Jameson Williams?
Beleaguered receiver.
Already had some issues.
Jameson Williams was riding in a car with his brother.
Yeah.
They were pulled over after midnight. They were asked if there's any weapons in the car. The brother who was driving responded, yes, I have my gun in the back seat. His gun is underneath his seat. So, they just told all, they were, according to all this, I've not seen the video, but according, I've read about four write-ups right now. All of them say, very respectful, just, yes, sir, here it is. The guns are here. And they said, well, where's the permit to carry a concealed weapon? The brother had one. Jameson Williams did not. So they said, okay, because yours isn't in there, we're going to have to arrest you. They
and
put
this
him
was
under arrest.
In Michigan?
In Michigan.
I think at this point you have to pull a Lasorda. We're not going to call it do you know who I am? This is a Lasorda.
Jameson Williams is on the camera saying, I'm Jameson Williams. I play for the Lions. Like, let's figure this out. And they just put him in the car in handcuffs in the back seat. We're arresting him. There are now other officers calling higher-up officers on the camera saying, what do we do here? Does one concealed carry permit cover the other? Does it cover both guns in the car? Can you just say they're both his? How do we deal with this? Another supervisor shows up.
Yes.
He is seen with a Lions phone case.
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. We might be good to go. At that point, they're on the walkie-talkie. Like, how good are the Lions? It's going to work? Oh, they're good now. Okay.
He essentially, from reports, again, I did not watch it, works to come to a resolution so that Jameson Williams could be freed. Now, somebody...
Was he cited? No. Was there a Ponch in the group who's like, still got to do what I got to do?
Not cited and no report written on the stop.
Okay.
A couple weeks later...
Justice has been done.
Somebody must have shared with a TV station in Detroit that this happened.
Oh, come on.
The TV station asked the police department... How come he wasn't arrested? Internal affairs investigation commenced and concluded.
Here we go.
And it looks like they are now reviewing a warrant request for the arrest of Jameson Williams.
We can't go the NFL referee route here? You back each other and move on?
I mean, no.
What do you mean?
It sucks for Jameson Williams that he probably thought he was free and clear from this, but...
He's wealthy. That's
one
the way it
case
work.
Ever of police actually, you know, saying, hey, let's do the right thing and not cover for each other.
Yeah.
Probably should be applauded.
All right. So the moral of the story is Tommy Lasorda much more vicious than Jameson Williams, because Tommy was fighting it like hell.
Violent criminal Tommy Lasorda.
Okay. Well, as you guys nailed, it was a TV show, so.
I don't think I ever saw that episode of Chips.
He was a good actor.
Who was?
Tommy Lasorda?
It sounded like he was definitely agitated.
Oh, you should have seen the way he got out of the car.
But I think that was just him being him. I think he's always agitated.
He was. Well, he's dead, but rest in peace.
I said he was always agitated.
I didn't hear was.
Including when he's yelling at our friends for taking too much food.
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. That's a great story. That's one of our great all-time stories on Cofield and Company. Do you remember the story?
I think it was at a boxing press conference.
Yeah. It was the Sports Pig. I don't think it was the same event. You do realize half of the Buffer brothers are basically DOA on the show.
Yeah.
Michael Buffer was policing the line at a boxing Thursday or Friday when we were doing a live show because Sports Pig had too much food. When I do the buffet, I'm a multi-plater. I go small plates. Like, I was the originator of tapas. Not really. But I like the small plates. Pig always acted like they were going to run out of food at the buffet, which sometimes they do. But he would have a big pile, and then Michael Buffer was like, hey, that's a lot of food you got there.
That's
actually what his voice sounds. No, that wasn't Pig. That's actually what Michael Buffer sounds like when he's not. Get ready to rumble! Yeah, he's very soft-spoken. Sure. He's like, you think you have enough food there? And that led to an explosion by myself.
Yeah.
And then I did just sit there. I don't think it was the same remote, but Pig pulled another boxing remote plate that was just, it was overflowing with food. God bless him.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lasorda, who was not thin at the time, like he had a good little run there with Slim Fast. But Lasorda was a guest at Radio Row because he's friends with Steve Brenner from BZA. That's inside stuff, but they were buddies. So I don't mean to be ripping on Lasorda, but Lasorda loved the Sports Pig name.
Yeah.
And built that into the plate of food and kept calling him the Sports Hog.
Yeah, yes.
We got the Sports Hog over here. Like, Tommy.
Loved it.
Easy.
Yeah.
Just take it easy.
It's good times. And he was agitated, though. He always was.
I don't think he was. Well, he might have been a little bit.
Always agitated.
I mean, when you're a big fella, you kind of look around to make sure there's going to be enough food. And if someone overdoes it at the buffet, you get a little agitated. I've been there.
he was fine.
You heard the whole thing last week, right, with Caleb Herring laying down the law at the UNLV media availability with the food. Not media availability, but media food. He said, no one, from here forward, no one cuts me in the line. And he was very stern, was he not?
People were doing it?
He was dead serious.
Well, I think people do that all the time at buffets where they will jump ahead because they're like, oh, I just want the meat on the end. I don't want to go through the grazing area with the salad and the vegetarian stuff. And then, you start to turn to your right and someone's, like, you're anticipating the next chafing dish being open and all of a sudden someone's standing there. No, back in the line. Well, yeah, and he's a good size guy. He's LEO, so you could tell he turned on, like,
Law and Order guy.
He kind of did.
Put the fist down.
What buffets are you guys going to where they're so scarce on food? Like you guys said, it was Chuck-O-Rama.
The media one. Well, that was in Utah, right?
No, let's not even. No, the issue with running out of food is running out of the hot food.
Yeah,
I had that happen on Friday night where I was like, because I will go martyr. I walked up to a big dish of mac and cheese and it was on like the last scoop. And I was like, I'll take it. And then as soon as I turn to my right, lady's coming up with a giant fresh mac and cheese. I'm like, son of a bitch.
It happens.
You know, you have to understand, people of weight, we think differently.
Pretty sure I outweigh you.
I don't think
you're in shape. You're not like if you were a 340-pound former college football player, then yeah, you qualify, but you're actually in shape.
Yeah, I don't. It's the running out, but it's more to me like the time of, like you have 12 minutes during a halftime, and now you're gonna be waiting in line. But then other people are gonna cut, and then you're like, okay, you're cutting. Well, like who?
That's
is somebody else gonna be cutting? Then it's not gonna work. And then you think you're saving time by cutting, but really now you're costing other people time. Like it's a time thing.
It's about being courteous. I'm not actually worried. It's that was a joke. About Lasorda getting jealous of Sports Pig for taking too much food. That was a joke.
Yeah.
They're not going to run out of food. That's often what I say is stop acting like animals. They're not going to run out.
Yeah.
And they do, and you're that worried about it, you're probably better off without the meal anyway. And I'm speaking to myself.
Although people are already panicking. I mean, the media food stuff is a great topic always. People are panicking about this week already.
I heard. So the word I got was. No, it was on the air yesterday, wasn't it? It wasn't a behind-the-scenes thing, I think. I've heard that you guys with the Raiders have, you know, you often complain about media food. Again, folks, this is all nonsense. It's free food, right? So we appreciate it. But I think you guys have been getting some of the leftovers from the UNLV Friday night games.
It's been very bad. Yes. But again,
I think that mac and cheese, the aforementioned mac and cheese, I think you got the same mac and cheese, whatever was left.
My thought has always been
20 seconds.
As I said, my thought has always been like, hey, as long as there's something there, because we're there like 15 or 16 hours, as long as there's something that's fine, doesn't matter if it's good, bad, whatever it is, it's fine. This week, though, Cincinnati. And they put that nasty
Skyline chili
on like everything.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I wish I was on
the trip.
People
are like, we got to bring food with us to the game.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Show pressure.
I don't know what was happening in the Falcons-Bucks game. That had to be a producer, right?
You would think so.
Someone dropped a blanking C-bomb in the middle of the broadcast.
On the field, too.
But it didn't sound like it was on the field. Mike. It was loud.
Mike's hurt.
Now you're right. If that parabolic mic
picks up a lot of weird sound.
I've had that the mic guy right next to me at UNLV games on the sidelines. But I would never do that. You don't want to ruin something.
Stay away
broadcast.
From me.
I don't think the announcers heard it. They just moved on. Like, no one let out a, whoa!
Well, you can't acknowledge it.
Concentrate on the game.
Because they don't have dump buttons on live broadcasts like that. It was so loud. It was bad.
It was loud. You cringed at the beeping. All right, college football playoff committee is going to have their rankings next week, which I like that they're waiting this long because I always thought starting the TV show that it is was way too early. Now we're not looking to lock down the four teams and have all drama between five and wherever. We'll have some drama between 12 and whatever, 15. I think the drama this time around is going to be on the seedings and who gets the top four seeds. You do know there's a very real scenario here where what I think the college football overlords thought was a lock is not a lock.
An SEC team?
No. That the fourth team doesn't necessarily have to be a group of four school because it goes with the highest conference winners in the rankings. So a group of five could be ranked higher than one of the power four top teams. What I'm getting at is the Big 12 is such a freaking bloodbath that if Boise were to roll, Boise could be ranked like eighth in the country and the Big 12 teams could all cannibalize each other, and the best Big 12 team could be like 13th.
Yeah.
And then they're not in the four hole with a bye. They'll fix that after 1 year. That's another one of those little, we can't have this.
Yeah, it'll be the top four ranked conferences. Their champion will be the four seeds.
Okay, they'll do that. Yeah, that's the way to fix it.
Yeah.
Now, they could
in
just.
In fact, I thought that's what it was this year.
I think I'm correct on this. Yeah. This is what the Boise people have been talking about for a while because they legitimately. AP has Boise 15th. The Big 12 teams in front of them, I have a whole list here, right? I have the schedules too, but the Big 12 teams in front of them are 9 BYU, 11 Iowa State, and then right behind them is K-State, and not ranked yet is Colorado. So my point here is if they want this TV show to work correctly, well, I'll ask you, should they have Boise right in the mix from the get-go, or do they have Boise ranked 25th or unranked? Have the college football overlords basically told them, like, you can't have the group of five team, rise to a point where potentially at the end of the year they're top 10 ahead of the Big 12 champ?
No, I think they want to put them on there just so you can have that possibility floating out there to get people debating that.
Okay.
Will they make the top four? And then they won't, but.
I mean, will they tease it by having, even though right now in the AP rankings, Boise's 15, Army's 21, will they just put Boise 24 and Army 25 so people know it's there?
No, they'll put them, you know, that'd be too obvious. So you'll just do like a 19 and 23 kind of a thing.
This can't happen. Because look at these schedules with BYU, Iowa State, K-State, and Colorado. They all play each other.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, they could pull the old bull crap where they just don't move them down.
Yeah.
Like somehow Missouri was blown off the field against Alabama.
It's Alabama.
And they stayed in the rankings.
Of course. It's Alabama.
Yeah. So something to watch out for. something to root for. But that said, then you have to root for Boise to go unbeaten. I really don't want that either. I don't want them in. I'd rather see Army in. I think that's a tremendous story.
I'd rather see Boise. Get the money for the league.
You are a league guy.
Set the precedent.
In the closing of the league, grab that last bit of big money.
Hey, thanks for the parting gift on your way out, Boise.
Your common sense when it comes to sports sucks.
Yeah.
My fandom rules. My illogical takes rule. My emotional takes rule.
Well, to be fair, I don't want to see Ohio State ever do anything.
That's a good point. They can't fall apart enough. Even with a blowout at the hands of Indiana, Ohio State, I think, is pretty safe.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here we go. Get into it. I don't even know if we can do this technically. We're having so many issues. Griffin has been without a phone, a working phone, for a week. I saw Penny Ottovich with a John Murray piece where Sam wasn't on the piece. What the hell's going on? What's up, Sam?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I got you. This is a working phone. What is going on with your computer? Are you now bailing on video spots, especially with our guy John Murray?
Well, that's a bit, as you obviously understand. I was doing a live show out of Chicago on Friday. We did BetQL Daily from the Score in Chicago, and they had this remote broadcast all set up, and it was really nice and really fancy. And then during one of the commercial breaks, the microphone stand collapsed right into my laptop.
No!
And
I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Wow.
Bad. Now, the good thing is I avoided the tragedy of having to build a company for a brand new MacBook. Luckily, there is a Lord and Savior above. I did, for some reason, signed up for AppleCare. So for the very low rate of $99.00, they will replace my screen, and I will bill that to the company. But yeah, it's just brutal. So then I couldn't tape the John Murray stuff, and I've been working off this 1997 Dell at my house that has no ports, nothing good. So, yeah, it's just been a whirlwind, man. But, we power on and hopefully get that thing back by Saturday and I can be back in the 21st century.
I knew all this happened, but I'm going to keep going with the theme as if the audience doesn't know. I know. So you didn't break your computer over the UNLV football game on Friday night. That was maddening.
Was it true? Because it was late. It was late Friday when that game got into the fourth quarter, and I may not remember what happened in the fourth quarter. I went back and checked it out. Is it true they didn't touch the ball for the final 8 minutes of the game?
Yep, 8:04, I think it was.
Couldn't get it back, Genty.
Oh.
Couldn't get it back.
How does that happen? Well, I know how it happens, but I hear there was a bad penalty too, like a helmet to helmet or something like that.
Adam, you want to chime in?
It was unsportsmanlike. I mean, it looked like it was more of a retaliation thing, and a lot of times you
there
call
were. I'll say there were multiple penalties that maybe didn't need to be called. They weren't horrific, but UNLV caught some bad breaks there. Kind of did it to themselves.
Well, is it a combination of that, along with the fact that the league wants Boise in the playoff? Is that part of the conversation?
No,
or no?
I mean, it might be in the hinterlands on the internet for UNLV, but we don't tolerate that crap here. We're serious sports people.
All I know is that I was feeling very good. They were up 10-3, and then at the end of the third quarter, they're up 24-23. You're holding 3.5-4. You're thinking you're in a good spot, but then the best running back in the country does the best running back in the country things. And look, if you would have told me UNLV would have 368 yards of offense, I would have felt pretty good about the cover, but man, it's been the story of my season in college football. NFL has been good. I'm up in NFL. I'm down in college. Two microcosms of my season. The Rebs +3.5, Wisconsin +6.5. They're both covering into the fourth quarter, and they fall apart late. It just is what it is. I mean, I'm not happy about it, and I hate giving people bad picks. I wouldn't argue UNLV was a bad pick. It just didn't get home.
Yep. Okay, so Genty was okay, not Genty. He had, 128 on 33 carries. That has changed the Heisman odds a little bit.
Yeah, and I saw Circa just put up a really cool market on Travis Hunter. You can bet the yes and the no in Nevada, which is cool. Yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that you can do that. Just on him, though, and we'll see how creative they're going to get. I think the voters are going to look up if Colorado has 9 or 10 wins, and they're gonna vote for Travis Hunter. I mean, he's the best player in college football. To me, it's close. I wouldn't say it's not close. I mean, he just plays 90 to 100 snaps a game both ways, and none of these quarterbacks are dominant. Like, this isn't Jaden Daniels last year. It's not Caleb Williams a couple years ago. This is a year where you could have some weird stuff happen, whether it be Genty, if he can break Barry Sanders' record, or if Travis Hunter has another game down the stretch where he catches 2 touchdowns and breaks up a few passes. I mean, he's minus 250 to not win it at Circa, 2-1 to win it. Him and Gabriel, depending on where you shop, are co-favorites. But Dylan Gabriel, I mean, you look at the stats for the best quarterbacks in the country, he doesn't even touch guys like Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. It's like the Mahomes thing. Well, they're undefeated. Well, they're undefeated because Oregon as a team is the best team in the country, not because Dylan Gabriel is the best quarterback. I draw a lot of similarities between Mahomes this year and Gabriel this year. Yeah, they're really good players, but their teams are better than they are right now. They're not carrying their team. So you look at Cam Ward's stats, you look at Shedeur Sanders' stats, they both have better numbers than Dylan Gabriel. I would never be betting Dylan Gabriel at plus 240, 250. That would never happen at this point.
Sam Paniadovich is with us from BetQL. We're going to talk to you next week on Election Day, so we're certainly going to talk about election in-game, in-election betting. Have you been tracking what's been going on? I sent you a chart that's probably about 5 days old. I'm curious how active the market is going to be straight up on Trump and Kamala Harris, but also state by state. You got some swing states here that I think are going to be really wild in terms of the odds over the next 5 days or so.
Yeah, let me bring up Mason's current numbers right now. So he's got Trump minus 200, which is as expensive as it's been. Yeah, it's a big number. I wouldn't lay minus 200, and that's not political. That's mathematical. If Kamala comes back at Dave Mason's shop, well, I'm sure plus 170. Of course, you can't bet this in America, which we all know. Let's see, the swing states. Man, he's got so many different markets. Holy cow, he's got like 150 markets. State presidential betting. He's got every state. Let's see, Nevada. Nevada Republicans minus 210. What else do you want? What other states?
Michigan
is Democrats minus a quarter, minus 125.
Wow, these are all over the place.
Pennsylvania.
Because the chart I have has had Michigan just a couple days ago at Trump winning at minus 130. Say it again, Adam. Sorry.
Oh, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Republicans minus 160.
Okay, that's about in line with what I had, minus 145.
I will highly recommend election night betting for people that can get those markets.
You've got Wisconsin. Republicans minus 150 in Wisconsin. But again, minus 150 is not minus 800. Like,
right.
Any of these things could win or lose. Yeah, you know, we don't know. We don't know until people get in the ballot box and actually check one or the other. Everybody can poll the way they want. Everybody had Hillary in 16, and then everybody had Trump in 20, and they both lost. So, I think these polls are, the polls and the markets, they're predictive, sure, but I mean, they're just balancing money at this point. They don't know who's going to win.
What's more topsy-turvy, election night with betting or riding on the Jameis coaster? The Browns and Jameis Winston.
I had money line. I had a little money line, which was nice.
Look at you.
He tried to give it away. He did his best. It was like 340, 350, plus 350.
Yeah.
Plus 9 was a really good bet. That closed 7. So clearly the right side all the way through, even though he did have the Jameis moment end of the second quarter. I don't know now that I'm in love with taking 2. They're only a 2-point dog at home against the Chargers. Look ahead was 4, 4.5. So already the Cleveland Browns are becoming extremely sexy at 2-6. That's not exactly a ship that I want to board. I was all on board taking 9 and 8.5, but there are some ugly underdogs, man. I mean, you look at, you know, New England plus three at Tennessee. Could I interest anybody in Carolina plus seven at home against New Orleans? New Orleans has lost six straight games. And, you know, you're going to have a spot now going forward where I would guess Vegas every game is going to be at least a touchdown underdog. Well, maybe not every game, but in more games than not, certainly, they're going to be catching at least a touchdown or more. Vegas catching 7.5 at Cincinnati. The Bengals are cooked. But, man, there are so many ugly dogs that I would love to take. They haven't been coming home. Last week, I tried taking Tennessee, getting 13. Detroit scores 52. How about Carolina? I bet them at 11 and 11.5. They lose 28-14. Eventually, these teams just quit, and no number is big enough, or so it seems. Are you guys thinking the Raiders are going to keep playing until further notice? Are they going to keep giving effort?
I say yes, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, the players are. I don't think the organization wants to win necessarily, but the players don't know that.
Yeah, no, that's sort of the lazy argument. Well, the team's not going to try. Well, these players, they certainly care. I don't know that I like the quarterback room, but look, the Raiders have covered a handful. You know, they covered against the Rams because Pierce kicked the field goal, and they cover against the best team in the NFL. So, I mean, good teams win, great teams cover. They've covered two straight. I don't know if that could keep up because eventually you're staring down the barrel of 2-10, and then it's a much different shake. You know, 2-6, is your season's not over yet. 2-10, it's over. So I guess we'll just pay close attention the next month.
Yeah, but they've got Desmond Ridder now.
How much is he worth of the point spread? Minus one?
I think we'll see in about 2 weeks.
I was going to say, if he starts playing, then you have your answer to your question 2 minutes ago. One more game on the Week 9 slate. Books overdoing it with the Rams, minus one. Puka cut back, but Rams minus one at Seahawks?
Yeah, I don't understand. I think Seattle should be favored. Seattle opened minus three, and now it's Rams minus 1.5. And I work for a network where every show but mine is saying, now is the time to buy Rams stock. And their defense blows. Yeah, they won a home game on Thursday night, which, you know, a lot of home teams do. I don't believe that Kupp, Nacua, and Stafford can stay healthy. And I don't think the roster is that good. People are betting their priors, and they're betting on this being the Rams team the last 5 years. No Aaron Donald, no defensive pulse. Yeah, they can score, but they don't get enough stops. I like Seattle. I'll bet Seattle for sure at plus 1.5. I see a 2 at one book. That's crazy to me.
I got less than a minute left. I always love seeing the updates of your blocked words or terms on Twitter. I don't know why Wordle is blocked, but I did notice I feel like Taylor Mathis is an addition.
Oh, we don't have enough time if we only have less than a minute. Maybe we can discuss this at our next session at Oasis. We can discuss.
Yes, it was a big week. It was a big week for her, and
I've got some crypto to sell if you want to talk about it.
There you go. I don't know.
She's just not a good person, period.
I don't know that Beth Bash is going to be having T-Math back again.
I don't think so either. No. I don't think so either.
All right, Sammy. We appreciate it. Good luck with all your computer issues. I'm praying to the computer gods for you.
Thanks, buddy. Let's go Seahawks. Let's get it home.
Exactly. All right, see you, Sammy.
You don't have to pray to the computer gods. Just pray for AppleCare.
Well, he did. He did. So it's going to work out. National anthem being sung right now. Game 4 of the World Series is on the way. It's a 5:08 first pitch. We're doing a regular 5 o'clock hour coming up in just a little bit. Spot every week with Sam Paniatovich is brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill. We'll get you a daily dinner special on the way back. But you want to stop in, get dinner, get drinks, watch the game tonight. Big Dodger House on Decatur, south of Trump.